This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Ooh, that was robust. Robust, I tell you. It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Hey, we've been doing something on Fridays for the last couple of months because I've just been cooped up here at home. No human contact outside of my family and one of my daughters who came to hang out with us for a few weeks. She went back to her house with her roommates a week ago. So it's dwindling. My human contact is dwindling. And I have to be better about staying in touch with my dear friends. And so on Fridays, because I can't take up my personal private time to talk to friends. So I thought I would just drag you along for the ride. So on Fridays, I've been calling people just in my contact list. It's called Catching Up With My Contacts During COVID. And it's been really fun. We had former producer Jake Skorheim on last week. We had Kenny Mayne from ESPN, Bob Rivers, Pat Cashman, Tony Ventrella. I know I'm leaving some people out. But anyway, today we'll catch up with another one of my contacts during COVID right after the news at the bottom of the hour. Somebody that most of you know, I think it's safe to say. So we'll do that a little bit later today. It's a gorgeous day heading into the weekend here. I thought that, and Nicole, I can't believe that you're suggesting I talk about this because you know how much I hate the topic.
I know. I find it funny how much you hate it, though.
Yeah. I thought maybe for 1 year we'd get a respite from the tedium, the Seattle media just lazily, once again, the Copper River Salmon have arrived. And they always do the same thing. They go down to the airport and then they show somebody getting off a plane carrying a fish. And we've had the debate about whether the Copper River Salmon is all a scam. I've talked to people who say it's tastier. I'm not as enough of a fish connoisseur to know if it's actually better and worth $40 a pound or whatever they get
for. Or, Dory, maybe you mean you're not an aficionado?
No, you didn't, Sean.
I went there, girl.
Oh, man alive. But anyway, Nicole says that I should talk about it. So the first Copper River King Salmon arrived at SeaTac today.
Well, I actually thought you would talk about it just the way you did, where you'd be excited because all of the news stations are COVID stuff, so they're not covering it. So really, they posted a picture of a... No, but they didn't do a whole... It's not as big of a deal, I think. They just posted the video of the pilot throwing it off.
No, I'm looking at my laptop right now of Rob Munoz, the fine reporter at Cairo TV, and he was down there, and he's talking to the fish, and... No, they're still playing it up.
Okay, well, when I saw it earlier, there wasn't.
Yeah, no, they're all over it now. And they said that the fish came in on a Boeing Salmon 30 Salmon. That's like a Sean Dettori line there. So anyway, the Copper River Salmon are here.
So maybe in a couple weeks you can go to a restaurant and find one. They won't be as fresh.
Well, that's right. And just like at the Pike Place Market where, you know, they got the fishmongers who throw the fish around, I believe with the six-foot rule that Jay Inslee's putting into restaurants, I believe that's how they have to deliver your prepared meals at restaurants. They're going to just throw the salmon at you from several feet away. So all the practice we've gotten with raw fish at Pike Place will serve us well when we go out to restaurants now. Okay, elsewhere in the Fastest 15, this is an amazing story. In March, the Seahawks made a trade, and they got a cornerback who not only was expected to compete for a starting job, but my buddies who I do the pre and post game with, who can analyze game tape much, much more expertly than I can, they believe that Quentin Dunbar not only would be a starting cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks, but that he could be a Pro Bowl player. But his NFL career at age 27 might be over right now, because two nights ago, Quentin Dunbar of the Seahawks and New York Giants cornerback DeAndre Baker, they were at a party in Miramar, Florida. Things at the party took a disturbing turn, as TMZ reported. They were hanging out at this cookout, playing cards and video games. An argument broke out, and the New York Giant player, Baker, he whipped out a semi-automatic, and then they started robbing party guests, allegedly. Dunbar assisted in taking watches and other valuables. They said a third man helped the two NFL players. He was wearing a red mask. At least somebody was wearing a mask. That's their biggest crime, because they didn't have masks on, apparently. But the people at this party, they were wearing some expensive stuff. They got an $18,000 Rolex, a $25,000 Hublot watch, and a Audemars Piguet watch that's estimated to be worth about $25,000. Who wears a $25,000 watch to a barbecue? That didn't make any sense to me.
Who's having barbecues?
Well, exactly. That's the other thing. And so they don't know if the new Seahawk, Dunbar, if he had a gun. There are conflicting reports. But as of, I checked just a few minutes ago, a spokesperson for the Miramar Police Department says the two NFL players still have not turned themselves in, but they are talking with attorneys representing them. But, Nicole, I talked to some of my Seahawk friends. We were texting about this last night. This is a guy, age 27, if he had the kind of season that they expected, where he was possibly a Pro Bowl player, he might have gotten a five-year, $40 million contract with about $30 million of it guaranteed. And because of a $70,000 robbery, his NFL career might be over now.
It's so much to lose. He had so much to lose, and he may have lost it all.
And apparently it's gambling-related. These guys at the barbecue that they robbed, they were playing some big-money card games, and there's been some speculation that it was gambling desperation. But yeah.
Well, it was
newly acquired. Go ahead.
Baker had lost 70 grand the day before, so this was like, they think this may have been payback.
Yeah.
Because he felt like he was robbed.
Ripped off, yeah. So newly acquired Seahawk Quentin Dunbar.
Did you hear that he did a interview yesterday? The Seahawks have been doing these like Zoom press conference type things, and he did one yesterday morning that he was like 45 minutes late for. Did that? I mean, 710 had been using sound from them or from him all morning, and then this came out. So that's what he was up to the night before he did this interview. It's crazy.
He did the interview after the armed robbery, and yeah, as you just mentioned, he was asked about the fresh start that he was about to get with the Seahawks.
I mean, it ain't necessarily just a fresh start. Just like I said, you just want to feel wanted at the end of the day. So, you know, them guys made their job to trade for me, and that's good enough for me. And I just hope to repay them with, you know, the way I carry myself as a person and as a player.
The way I carry myself as a person is, and he said that after being arrested for the armed robbery. So yeah, young man, 27, may have, and we don't have anything from the Seahawks yet on this. We don't know if they are going to release him, if they're going to wait until all of this plays out. But a guy who had just nothing but unfathomable riches just ahead of him has very possibly, and if the allegations are true, he has likely thrown away his NFL career and could end up in prison for armed robbery. So what a ridiculous story that is. All right, next up in the Fastest 15, I played some Joe Biden before the top of the hour, and some people said, yeah, Dory, you know he's got a stutter, though. Yeah, I do know that, but that's not what's going on with Joe. Watch any of his speeches from even 5 or 10 years ago and compare it to today. There is a significant degradation of his ability to speak, and clearly the words that he's saying are not connecting with his brain. And then you got President Trump, who got some really great polls a couple of days ago in the battleground states. I mentioned this yesterday. You know, Wisconsin, Michigan, Florida, the states that he and Biden have to tussle over, because that will determine, because you know Trump's going to get Texas, you know Biden's going to get California, but it's those battleground states, and Trump has a big lead in this latest national poll of the battleground states. And so that's given the Trump supporters some reason for optimism. I thought this guy was really interesting. He was back in Michigan, and there's a black guy. And, you know, people ask me, well, why do you say black guy instead of African-American? Because I don't know the heritage of somebody by looking at them. If somebody's from the Caribbean, or if, I mean, it's African-American's kind of a catch-all that certainly doesn't represent everybody who is black. So I don't know. I just remember when it was the first black guy to win a Olympic swimming medal. And he was from some Caribbean country. And I remember on NBC, they awkwardly described him as the first African-American to win an Olympic medal. Well, he wasn't American. He wasn't swimming for the United States. He was swimming for, and I don't remember which Caribbean nation it was, but he wasn't American, and he wasn't African. But there are some people in the media who think that you have to say that because it's politically correct, even if it's factually incorrect. So that's the answer to that question. But there's a black guy in Michigan, and he is wearing all the Trump regalia, the MAGA hat, and he's carrying a Trump banner. And a news reporter asked him why he is supporting and going to vote the way that he is saying.
Were you a Trump supporter from day one?
Not at all. I believed everything the media told me. I believed I drank the Kool-Aid, so to speak. And it got to the point where, you know, the type of person I am, I like to know why I don't like someone. I was told that he's a racist, but let me get some evidence, right? So I can be able to debate Trump supporters when it comes down to this, and I can be able to beat him down with facts. Started doing my research, and I was like, okay, well, I agree with that he said. I like that what he said. I like that Paul said. I like this guy. I think I'm going to go ahead and rock with this guy. So that's what I started doing, and I haven't stopped.
So that man says that after being spoon-fed what he was supposed to be thinking from the media for years, he actually did his own research and came to a different conclusion from what the media said he was supposed to think. So I like free-minded people. Next up in the fastest, that's why I like my listeners so much, because you want to hear stuff that isn't just the same as what everyone else is talking about. And this next story is another example. I don't believe the COVID-19 death numbers. I know that a lot of people are dying, and I know it's tragic. I also know that Jay Inslee and everybody is trying mightily to hide the fact that most of the deaths are people 75 or older. Most of them have underlying health conditions. A significant number were in long-term care facilities. And it's tougher to control the populace for something that, if you are young and healthy, almost certainly is not going to have a life-altering impact on you. But if you say that, then you don't have the sheep You can't control them. And so here's another reason why I do not believe the numbers. There's a guy in Colorado who has died from COVID-19. That's the official report. The truth is he had a blood alcohol level of 0.55. I have never heard of that. 0.08 is the legal limit for driving. Four times the legal limit, 0.32, is considered potentially lethal. This guy was almost double that at 0.55. But as KCNC reports, the guy who drank himself to death is being listed as a COVID-19 casualty.
When police in Cortez, Colorado found 35-year-old Sebastian Yellow in their city park on May 4th, coroner George Devers quickly determined what killed the man.
It wasn't COVID. It was alcohol toxicity. Yes, he did.
That's why I don't believe what we are being told. You should question everything. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Hey, it's time to catch up with another one of my contacts during COVID. Who will it be? Stick around. It's coming up next.
All my rowdy friends are coming over tonight.
As you know, I've been home longer than most. I had knee surgery about a month before stay at home. So I've been working from home for more than 3 months now. And with that, you just kind of lose touch. You don't have any human contact. I don't see the friends that I usually see. And so I launched a feature several weeks ago, catching up with my contacts during COVID, where I just call random people in my contact list in my phone, just so I can make sure that everything's fine. So today I'm catching up with one of the Seahawk greatest free agent undrafted signings. There was a battle on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. Who's the best undrafted free agent? A lot of people were saying Doug Baldwin, Dave Craig. I said, this is easy. Paul Moyer. Not only was he a great safety, but I also got one of my best friends out of the whole deal. Paul Moyer joins us here on the Dory Monson Show.
Thank you. I love your bias. I need, as you know, I needed all the votes I could get on that little Twitter poll, which I actually was a write-in candidate. I didn't even make the list.
Oh, well, at least I Dory, sent you a little love.
I appreciate that. Dory, I may be. Not that you would remember this.
Right.
I may be the last person who saw you as a friend before the whole stay-at-home thing. You were recovering from knee surgery. You were a little happy at that time. They had a very nice IV going for you, cocktail.
I remember it well. You came to the hospital about an hour after I got out of the surgical recovery room. It was very
sweet. Yes, I did.
I noticed I haven't seen hide nor hair of you since then.
Well, there's a thing called stay at home.
Yeah.
We've tried to FaceTime each other. We talk. One night we were talking at 1:30 in the morning. We got a little animated, and my wife came downstairs and said, "What are you know?" Looked at me, and I'm like, "Yeah, just go back to sleep. I'm talking to Dory."
Yeah. I woke my wife that night, too, the next morning. She goes, who are you talking to at 1 a.m.? So you've been from, you know, we do text an awful lot. And you have been one of the most outspoken people I know about this whole stay-at-home thing. And, you always back it up because you've always been, you know, you run your own company. You've always been a real, stat guy. So how you feeling right now on May 15th about the government's edict and how we're handling this?
Well, we had a staff meeting or senior staff meeting yesterday because, you know, we're preparing. You know, we First Hill Trust Benefit Administration Company, we're considered an essential business, so we're open. But I have our employees rotating around. And, you know, we try not to have more than just a few people in right now on the essential things. So, you know, June 1st, if we get into this phase two, you know, we want to start bringing our employees back. We're a business that needs to have people here at the office. And so I have that part of me that wants everybody back. You know, let's get going. Let's, you know, business as usual. Yeah. And then I have the other side of me that, look, I've got a mother-in-law that lives with us that, you know, I would hate for her to get this. And so balancing all of those is difficult. I am in the belief, my personal belief at this point is very much like the guy from Barstools. I'll take my chance. I don't want to. I've worked too hard to have a company go under and lay off people, and the ramifications for that to me is more distressing than to go for the risk. And that's not to put light on life. We know that. I mean, that's just common sense stuff, right? Yeah. So it's frustrating. It is really frustrating to be a business owner trying to make decisions. It's unlike anything, obviously, I've ever had to go through. And some days I feel really good, and there's other days where I go, whew, all right, how are we going to battle through this? So,
yeah, I'm so worried about the long-term health of our economy. And, you know, I was just talking to my wife about that again this morning, because I don't know that people understand just how bad things are and are going to get worse in the months and possibly years to come. And that's why we have to start getting things turned around economically as soon as possible.
Well, no question, you know, and I think if they do ease this, you know, we can see a pretty good back to normalcy on it. Look, we're not going to get to where we were, obviously, 2 months ago, 3 months ago. I mean, that's just, you know, the restaurants alone. I mean, the sporting events, you know, there's so many trickle down effects to this that it's crazy. I don't know. I have personal opinions on this. The weird part is, you know, I have my two neighbors that's about the only people we get to see, you know, when I leave work.
Right.
You know, it's all we talk about, you know, and it's all we talk about is, well, what did you read? And we're throwing research pieces, which I don't even know what research and science is anymore, Dory. Everybody just, oh, it's science. Is it? Is that what we're going with? So, well, it's frustrating, but we have to open this thing up. To me, it's a very common sense thing right now. I think we know enough that it's for the elderly that we need to protect. Those
Absolutely.
Who, you know, are most vulnerable, we have to protect them. But the rest of the world really needs to get back to doing what they were doing.
Yep. No, exactly right. Talking with Paul Moyer. I'm catching up with my contacts during COVID. We first met... I was doing interviews when I was in my early 20s in the Seahawk locker room. And, of course, you don't remember me from the media mobs. But then a few years later, you were the studio analyst for Q13 Seahawks coverage. And I was the reporter who, you know, covered, you know, the home and away games. So we were on the same telecast for a couple of years, but really didn't know each other. But that was the earliest our paths crossed, and that was early 90s when that was happening.
That was, as a matter of fact, I sent you a video, which you should post again, how young we were, Dory. It's only 25 years ago,
yeah.
And I feel like a baby there. But, yeah, I think we were on Q13 Fox. And Dory, I tell you how weird it is. When I finally did meet you, got to know each other in the late 90s and really the early 2000s when we started doing the show together, I didn't remember that you did the show. I didn't know who you were.
Right.
I mean, that's, I'm kind of embarrassed at that now, but it shows how lack of attention to detail I am.
Like, yeah. That's good for a company owner.
You know, we're a trust company. People think of us as fiduciary. So, yeah, yes. I have no attention to detail. No.
Yeah, that's okay.
I do.
Well, let me take a quick time out. We're going to keep catching up with my contact, Paul Moyer. And we have lots more straight ahead. I've got some great audio to share with you, too, as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help.
on this Friday afternoon. I'm catching up with my contacts during COVID. Paul Moyer, the former Seahawk. He does the pre- and post-game shows with me on the Seahawks Radio Network, along with Michael Bumpus, Jordan Babineau, Ray Roberts. It's incredible, this group that we have, Paul, and how, you know, we've had some people come and go, but everybody who's part of that group is among my closest friends in the world, and we are so blessed to work with people like we do every Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, we go way back, you know, Wyman and Brock Heward and Max Strong. I mean, it's just, and we've all remained very good friends. And, you know, and look, when you're on the air together for 9 hours, you know, you either like each other or you don't. And it comes out very quickly. And everybody's really good people. So, yeah, we've built some lifelong friends and great relationships.
I was doing research because, as you know, I always research before I talk, even if it's somebody I'm comfortable with. So I found this on YouTube from 1987. And here's a little bit that you may not know about Paul Moyer during his Seahawks playing days.
Oh, yeah, that's Paul Moyer. Number 21, safety, age 26, loves golf, hates beefcakes.
I just love to meet him.
I mean, I'm not a loner, but I do, and I'm alone. I haven't had too many, you know, long relationships with women. You know, you obviously have to be some type of physically attracted to a girl to get to know her, but, you know, it comes from the heart.
Last year, when Kenny Easley was injured, Paul Moyer saw lots of action. Now, the season can get pretty intense, and Paul says the pressure of playing football really can affect his social life.
There's nights when you can go out and hang out with other people, but, you know, you don't really meet the type of women you want. It's hard to meet real nice women.
This year, USA Today named Paul one of 10 most eligible bachelors in the NFL. A fine distinction, but one that could end someday, too.
I'm more relaxed and more content with myself, and if the right woman came along, I could settle down.
It comes from the heart. You're wearing your thin strap tank top. You're trying to be the early version. But USA Today picked you one of the 10 most eligible bachelors in the NFL.
What a
hottie.
You know, I guess if you – I think there was only 11 nominated, but I made the top 10. I love my part. I haven't had a lot of long relationships with women. What does that say about me? Oh, God. My hair was pretty long. I don't know if it's as long as it is now, Doris. It's the longest you've ever gone without a haircut.
I haven't gotten my haircut since I think it was late January. No, this is the longest it's been since college for me.
I'm seeing you with like a bandana like Bill Walton has, and a tie-dye shirt, and with your long, curly hair.
Yeah, I know. I wish. So we first got to know each other on the Seahawk broadcast. And then a few years later, many years later, I was coaching girls basketball, and you came along, and I don't even remember, because I think there's a dispute. I thought you offered to help because you thought that I was putting in too many hours between the radio show and the Seahawks and the coaching, and you claimed that I called your wife and asked her if I could have you coach with me. Is that really how it went down?
Well, here's how it went down. I was concerned because you were burning on both ends. I mean, you were. I know how you prep for shows. I know when you text me at 2:30 in the morning that you're still researching for your show the next morning, and you're up at 6 o'clock texting me again. And so I know you have no sleep. And then we're doing the broadcast, you know. And then on top of that, you were coaching. I was worried about you going into that next season because I saw what it did to you the year before. And I think Ray Roberts had helped, and he wasn't going to help that year. He had to do something else.
Ray coached the year after you did.
Yeah, probably not. But, you know, we forget these things along the way. We came in fourth in state. I remember going and watching you guys in districts not making it one time. But it doesn't matter if he was here before or after. You didn't have anybody that year. And so my wife said, you know, you know, you said you were really concerned about Dory. I said, yeah, I was. But I got, man, Shoreline, I go, I've got a busy job. I just don't know if I can do it. Plus, I don't know anything about basketball. And if I do, you know me, I'm either all in or I'm out. And right. All in means I'm up late. And so you, I think you had a conversation with her. I'm not sure you called her to say, please, you know, I think you guys talked. And she went to me and she goes, I think you need to do it. And I said, okay. And it was, look, Dory, it was, I was kicking and screaming. And it was one of the best experiences I've had. So,
and here's the other thing people need to know, because Paul's a very tough man. And Paul, you played an entire half of an NFL game with a ruptured testicle because you refused to tell anybody because you didn't want to come out. Correct?
Correct. And by the way, the article on Most Eligible Bachelors came out the week before that, so that didn't help my cause.
There was one coach in the league who didn't like one of our players, and we beat them in a game, and in the post-game handshake, he starts putting his finger in my chest, and Paul, you stepped up, and you said, don't do that, man, don't do that, and the guy looked at you and said, hey, this is between the head coaches. Paul, I think it's the first time I've had to wrap up somebody from behind. I had my arms around you, trying to pin your arms, like I could do anything about you if you really wanted to. But you were gonna kill the guy right in the middle of the Shorecrest gym. It was really fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm patient, and I. Uh-huh. But if I feel we've been wrong, and if someone wrongs a friend of mine, and particularly our players, right. Yes, you know, so I can. I'm in protect mode. What I wanted to do at that point was I was going to show him in front of everybody. You want to claim you're that tough? I say, because we'll go down right now in front of everybody, or we can go in the back, and then you can come back later. But I was I never wanted to beat a team more, which we did beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that felt we were very, I want to say, humbly smug.
Oh, we were elated. Yeah.
So that felt good. That felt good.
It did. Well, you have just tagged along while I caught up with my contact during COVID, Paul Moyer, one of my closest friends on earth. I appreciate you hanging out with us this afternoon, Paul.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Let's not cut our hair until the Seahawks play a football game.
Okay, I'm in.
That's easier than us having a bet on who's going to lose the most weight.
Yeah, that's right.
we can cut our hair later and lose like 2 or 3 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the hair alone. All right, yeah. Paul, good talk to you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Joining us. Text us. 98973 is the number. We're going to check the news for you, and then the big lead at 2 coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.